do they still call me a warlord? And mad? All I want to do is to create the perfect genetic soldier. Not for power, not for evil, but for good. Carlos Blanca will be the first of many. They shall march out of my laboratory and sweep away every adversary, every creed, every nation, until the very planet is in the loving grip of the Pax Bisonica. And then peace will reign in the world. And all humanity shall bow to me in humble gratitude.
That was beautiful.
Knock, knock, guess who is knocking at your door? That's right, you know it's the morning for sure. Might be a geography, it could be. Maybe it's Mitt Romney. You know you love This Week in Mormons, original Mormon news. If you love Lindsey Sterling, Bryce Harper in Utah, and Jell-O salad foods, oh, you're gonna love this show.
Yes, knock, knock. Guess who is knocking on your door? That's right, you know it's a Mormon for sure. It's This Week in Mormons, and here we are, everybody. Now, lest you get excited and think that this is a full-blown show with Jeff and Al. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. We like to just...
I just got back from a glamorous trip to Europe.
Yeah.
I'm exhausted. So I don't have time to do these shows right now.
Al is now functioning on European time. Maybe you've heard of it, Europe.
That's absolutely true. Yesterday, I left Amsterdam at 11 o'clock, landed in Dallas like 2.5 hours later, / 90 hours later. Ooh. It was a 10-hour flight.
Yeah, all the way to Dallas. That's right. I mean, I guess if you're going to Missouri. But
and then still. We shot up, but like it was... I felt like I went 3 days without sleeping. It was intense. You know, you guys know how hard it is.
The flight back is a long time.
Flying back from Europe, right? I'm not alone in this.
Oh, we should. No, flying westward always takes longer than eastward, and that flight back from Europe can be, it'll seem interminable, for sure.
And I thought I'd picked the row with like the extra leg room. I did not.
Did you not consult Seat Guru before your flight? Come on.
I was on. Well, no, because what I did is I booked on American for the cheap $400 round trippers. Mm-hmm. And my move is you wait. You don't pick seats because the free seats in the back are the crappy ones. But those fill up with people that are picking their seats.
Yeah, poor people.
And then they assign you to the premium ones in the front. And so I saw I got assigned to what I thought was a premium seat. Mm. Turns out it was the green premium and not the blue premium.
The thing with extended economy is usually the exit row still has much more leg room than extended economy. Exit row is the best.
Yeah, the exit rows don't lean back. Never get an exit row on a transatlantic.
It depends on the plane. Usually the...
Consult Seat Guru, sure.
Usually the back exit row will still recline. But
on the flight out, I got the plus. I was living the dream. I was like making a little, set up an easy bake oven up there, had a treat.
That's good, because I knew you were...
Reading the magazine?
You were dismayed.
On the way back,
coach,
we were on a plane from the 1960s, and the seats were awful, and there was no entertainment system.
Al, if you flew...
I didn't have an outlet. Like I was like, wait, people back here don't have outlets?
Well, clearly you were on an older plane. I had the same experience on American. When I went to California in March, and I rarely fly American, and we had our whole last show we talked all about airlines. But on the way there, I had a newer one with the entertainment head unit, you know, right there in the seat, and it had plugs at every seat, and it was delightful. And then on the way back, I had a plane that just hadn't been renovated the same way. It still had the old livery, and
it's the worst.
No power outlets.
Like, I'm playing 2048, game of my life. I'm up in the 55,000-point range. I've got a 4096 tile or whatever that one is. I'm trying to double that up, going for the 8092 tile or whatever. phone is dead.
Oh, did not make it. You can't plug it in.
No, I was frantic. I was. This was my moment.
You can find a plug. Actually, you should have looked harder.
I did. It was a cigarette lighter plug. Was what was down there. Because
what I looked on the American ones on the newer planes, the plug outlet is like in front of you. You know, kind of beneath the screen.
No, you got to go down on your own.
But down on your own in between the seats. They sometimes have those ones hiding there. It's like,
are you going to try and tell me I don't know where to look for these outlets?
I think I'm going to say I know more air travel than you. That's what I'm going to go for today.
Oh. Really? Oh. How many miles did you fly last year there, Hotshot?
Six.
16
I flew
miles.
To Fairfax in my little plane.
Well, so anyway, neither here nor there. We're just trying to make you feel bad for not living our glamorous lives that Jeff and I live.
The glamour of it all.
Me and Jeff just spend our days international jet setting and I know since you spent speaking down to peasants.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Europe, I saw a thing. You know how the Trump administration has banned laptops and anything bigger than a phone if you were flying from the Middle East?
Dude.
They're going to do it for Europe.
They're looking at it everywhere. Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
Oh.
What if you want to watch a movie on this 11-hour flight? What if you need to do some work? They just got Wi-Fi on these planes.
I mean, you can't even take a Kindle.
Who's blowing up Kindles?
No one. They're not even sophisticated enough. I mean, if I wanted, it's just, I think this what this really comes down to, if we ever saw Trump's tax returns or holdings or something, we would find out that he actually owns the Hudson News franchise, and this is all a play to make people buy magazines. That's what
he's shorted all the airlines. That's what he's trying to shaft them.
Hey, how was the Paris Temple, though?
Paris Temple was great.
Yeah.
It's small. It was kind of an unremarkable building. On the outside, you'd think it was like an Aldi grocery store or something.
No, according to them, it's very French.
No, it's not. And it's hidden behind they have these trees along the boulevard that are taller than the building, so you can't see anything. But once you get inside, man, they got a couple multiple levels. And you know how in Europe, everything, like instead of any carpet, it's all just tile.
Yeah, yeah.
That's everywhere there.
I'm wondering if
where you would expect carpet, it's just big tile and like a splash wall.
But I wonder if that's the trend. We went to the Philadelphia open house, and I don't remember much carpet. I remember there was a lot of wood. So, because I remember how loud it was just from an open house.
Yeah, I'll take wood, but it was tile.
It was tile.
They have like once you get into like the main parts, it's what you'd normally see. But
let's see, it's not terrible size. It's 44,000 square feet, so it's not.
No, it's a good size. It was lovely. They were very gracious, moving people through there. The Paris ward or that branch that next day, man, we were standing in the courtyard listening to sacrament. It was quite the sight.
It's like the Pope's mass on at St. Peter's Square, right? It's the same.
Very similar. Less people coming out of balconies. It's still very fun.
Hey, one thing we should mention before we get into our guest hosts on the episode, since this is sort of an update based on what they recorded, you saw all the stuff that's gone down with Boy Scouts, right, in the church?
Yeah.
Big news there, folks. There's no point even waiting until our next full-fledged episode to discuss that.
Well, no, they dropped the Venture Scout program, which is not the full scouting program, but you think they're doing this as a just to sort of test the waters?
I think it might be a preemptive move, a test balloon, if you will.
And if it sticks, they'll cut out Boy Scouting for everyone?
They could. Now, it's a little unclear to me, and I've read through the release a bit, and we have an article about this over at thisweekinmormons.com. Yeah. So they want to end the relationship with Varsity and Venturing effective January of next year. And admittedly, I was never even clear growing up what Varsity and Venturing were. I'd see other troops at scout camp that had that or different, you know, they had different shirts or stuff like that. And I was always confused because I was just like, well, we're Boy Scouts. We're just doing scouting. I don't know what you guys are doing. Sounds cool. So it's true that no one does it I've never seen an LDS troop that bothered with Varsity and Venturing. But it seems like the church is actually saying, like on paper, maybe we were supposed to try to do that. And now they're just pulling back and saying, just don't bother with scouting after they hit 14. That's what I'm getting from this.
I don't know, man. I don't think that a single 14-year-old out there will notice a difference, there's a few wards that do scouting well that leaders really care. Yeah. I was in one of those for about 6 months up in Oregon. Jim Randolph, great scoutmaster, looking at you.
Doesn't listen to the show.
Everywhere else, man, was like the boys wanted it more than anybody else, and it was we were almost a nuisance. So yeah,
it's
whatever.
Well, it's unclear to me. I mean, does this mean though, after they're 14, are they no longer going to have a scoutmaster calling? Are they not going to try to go to scout camp? Like, are these things just not? Is it all off the table now? And you're just going to do your scouting with organized church apparatus through age 13.
After that,
you're just on your own if you want to keep doing scout stuff. And they're fine with it, and they'll support you, but there's not going to be any apparatus to do it.
I don't know. I wonder what this looks like in actuality. We shall see.
It's going to be interesting. But I, like you said, I wonder if this will be a bit of a precursor to kind of see how the church reacts to a smaller relationship with scouting. And who knows what will happen. We're still doing Friends of Scouting, and the church is also on record talking about how this will help bring into balance the financing.
And President Monson still is a silver beaver.
Yeah, I was actually surprised any of this happened while he was still... I saw one kind of... I don't know if it was a glib comment about this, but someone basically said, the fact that they did this while President Monson is still alive actually makes me question how much he's involved in making decisions at this point.
Yeah.
Which was an interesting way to look at it, but I don't know. I don't know.
Hopefully he's very involved and is adamant about this.
Yeah. Sadly, Friends of Scouting is still going to be a thing. Sorry, folks.
Fundraising in the church buildings.
You're still going to... But don't worry. It's all okay now. And for politics, because since we also last did the show, Trump on the National Day of Prayer... You couldn't get rid of the Johnson Amendment, but he basically just told the IRS not to waste its time prosecuting anyone who violates it. So in theory now, even though the church says it won't, the church could get right up there and be like, y'all should have voted for Evan McMullen, you ninnies. What's wrong with you?
That's what we're saying. And we are your current religious institution. Hello, people.
Yeah, sure. But I don't think they'll do anything. I just think it would be too slippery of a slope.
So anyway, we've got for you guys this week. This was exciting. We got another show submission.
You sent it in because we tell you, send us a show, and our standards are so low that unless it's real.
No. Are you kidding? This was the dynamic duo, the Shock Jock and the straight man, Tiffany Hales and Ariane Hales Smith.
It's true. Now, they call it the Sisters in Zion show. I'm hoping they know.
Are they related to Dean Hales? That's what I really want to know. You should,
or Emma Hales.
Emma Hales Smith.
Yeah.
Emma Hales.
That's Hale, though, Smith. Without the. Yeah, no plural there. Not, there's not multiple Hale in this case.
I just realized I was thinking of Dean Hughes, and I said Dean Hales.
Uh-huh.
Dean Hales is a local JCPenney aficionado, so a 90-year-old man who lives in Hamilton, Missouri. I was curious if these ladies were related to the JCPenney museum curator.
Sure. It's on,
I'm guessing no. Sorry, that was a reference that I thought was Mormon, but it wasn't once I figured out what I was saying in my head.
Yeah, everything.
And
so these fine sisters are going to run the show this week, much as you've heard in the past from our buddy Greg did one. So, folks.
They were fantastic. So, a couple of things. One, they promote in the end an app whereby you can spy on your children. We disagree with this in principle. If you cannot trust your children to drive, so you should not be spying. This is effectively you're putting a GPS locator on the bottom of their car and then watching their activity.
Well, it's not a GPS locator. It probably comes with an OBD2 dongle that you plug into the.
I'm just saying this sounds very creepy and.
Well, what about the scheduling?
You gotta actually like trust your children at some point. You cannot control them to the end. They're gonna figure out a way to hate you.
The scheduling app confused me because I was listening to it and I said, "Isn't this just Google Keep? Isn't this all you need?"
No, our groceries. I'm excited about this because me and my wife have just started trying to do grocery lists, and we were looking for a good to do sort of task list grocery thing. So I downloaded it. I'm excited to try it out.
And what's that one called?
I liked.
We'll hear it. Anyway.
I like that. I like that one. The let's see, what else? What else was of note?
Instagram, also a worthwhile app, worth using.
Yeah, I was also surprised at how they promoted this idea of like for Mother's Day, just canceling Relief Society and letting people mingle and talk. Like, could you imagine in Elders Corps if they're just like, all right, guys, Just hang out and chit-chat with yourselves.
In my old ward, on Father's Day, they had a tradition of serving pie, and usually they would just break for
it was
like,
just a mingle?
No, but not the whole time. Usually like the last 15 minutes, and then do a mingle, and it was delightful. And one year, though, they thought they would try the pie at first so everyone could get their pie, then go to class. And as you can probably imagine, nobody went to class, and we all just hung out and ate pie for the whole third hour.
Sure.
Which was delightful. I thought that was fellowshipping time well spent with my flock. I enjoyed it.
Well, dang. Because I'm hearing that, and I'm like, if you told me to turn to my neighbor and talk to Jerry, I'd be like, oh, boy. Well, how's your day been? Good? Good.
Forced fellowshipping is what the church is all about, my friend. Forced friendships.
Anyway, it seemed bizarre, but maybe a really good thing. So get your chocolates from the lady in the ward and enjoy the mingle. But really, I thought it was a fun show. I listened to the whole thing, had a good time with it.
I'm glad. We both listened to the show before we published it. So you'll be happy to know we vetted it and made sure that it didn't drop in the middle and just start, you know, swearing and doing who knows what else.
They should do more of these. I think we should have a female version of this show.
I know.
And we'll just have them do it. It's a great idea.
Now, one thing I disagree with is they said that they assume our show is made for a male audience. And
it absolutely is.
Our metrics actually show that we skew female on our downloads and followers. But now
that's called sex appeal from the beards.
Yes, but now that you're married.
Oh, and they really wanted to know about marriage details for me. They were surprised. They didn't notice a change in tone or the excitement in my voice.
Your countenance has not altered in any way.
As I led up to marriage. And so I owe them a detailed description,
you know,
of how the big day went down.
And that's the beauty of this show. We've been doing it for so long that we went from, when this show started, two single guys in their 20s just doing their thing.
Now look at us, a decade later,
and now
two
we're
married guys
married
in their
men,
30s.
You know, families,
we have careers born. Now.
It's just wild when you think about
it. We saw both of us through years of joblessness.
I can't wait until we get to the point when we're talking about how much we're getting from our Social Security checks.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, and then we'll do a movie about robbing the bank that stole our Social Security with Morgan Freeman and who are those other guys? It's the easy way out. What's that movie? The old people movie.
Red?
Man, you need some parents right now, because old people go and see movies about old people.
Speaking of seeing movies,
the heist.
Before we do the handover, did you see Guardians yet?
Not yet.
I beat you to a movie as a married man with a child. Yes.
Worth
I've
it?
Seen Guardians. Ha ha.
Was it good? I heard it was awful.
No, it was delightful. Whoever told you it was awful should go hide in a corner and never talk to you ever again. No.
Okay. Delightful. All right.
So your mom was a great person, but you never get to see her anymore. I thought it was lovely. It was deeper. It was not as frivolous as the first one, but I liked it.
You had me at Chris Pratt going for a deeper dramatic role.
You do get
role.
Some gratuitous Chris Pratt shirtless action for no reason, much like Alice Eve in Star Trek 2.
As long as I have equal counts of shirtless raccoon, I'm fine.
There we go.
Let's do it.
Well, I think that's a great note to hand off the baton and to say thanks for listening to us, folks. Now, please listen to Tiffany and Ariane.
Take it away, ladies.
We'll see y'all later. All right, folks. Be well, be holy, be happy. Take it away, guys.
You always do it.
All right. Welcome to This Week in Mormons. I am Tiffany Hales, and I am here with...
I'm Ariane Hales-Smith, Tiffany's sister.
Yes. And so we are going to call this This Week in Mormon, Sisters in Zion Edition. And you may recall earlier in the year that Jeff and Al put out a shout out to their listeners to say, hey, we're going to take a little break from doing a weekly podcast. Anybody who wants to do a weekly podcast, submit your stuff and we'll consider it. So Ariane and I were on a trip. We live in Boise. We had our girls and we were taking our girls down to Women's Conference at the end of March. And we are longtime TWIM listeners.
And we had no TWIM to listen to.
And we were very sad.
On our road trip.
Yes.
We've been missing our TWIM.
And so we came up with this idea that we should should do our own podcast, and we should call this Sisters in Zion. And the reason that we wanted to call it Sisters in Zion is, first of all, we are full-blood biological sisters.
That's right. The second reason is I moved to Boise last summer from Portland, and my very first Sunday in my brand new ward that I had never been to before, a sweet sister in Release Society came up to me and said, "Welcome, we're so glad you're here. You're here, just so you know, you've moved to Zion." Which I thought was awesome. Had no idea it was in Boise, Idaho.
Now, I do not live in Ariane's ward, nor do I live in her stake. I live over in Eagle, which is about 10 miles away. I live adjacent to Zion. So I'm not quite righteous enough to be in Zion. I live adjacent to Zion, but we're recording this podcast at her house. So technically, we are sisters in a self-proclaimed Zion.
That's right.
So we came back from Women's Conference and we told our husbands about this idea.
Yeah. So my husband is the first one that got us listening to TWIM. He's been a longtime listener. His name is Keith. In fact, they even called him out once. Back when Romney was running for president, he called them out on something that they had, Jeff and Al had said about one of the Romney kids. And they called him out on the podcast. It was like his claim to fame. He loved it.
So, of course he did.
So he's been a longtime listener. We thought we would do this. When I first told my husband that we were going to do this, he said, "Are you guys really their demographic?" And I said, "Well, of course."
Exactly.
We can't be the only ladies out there that listen. And even if we're not, hopefully the brethren will still listen.
I think that Matt, or not Matt, I think that Al and Jeff have a secret women following that because it seems like their podcast is a little more oriented towards men listeners, but I think that there are secretly a number of women listeners out there, and I think that they're going to enjoy our take on it, and maybe the men listeners will introduce TWIM to their wives and say, "Listen to these two crazy sisters." That's why we're doing this podcast. All right. So just to introduce ourselves. Oh, wait a minute. Before we do that, we want to talk about Al's wedding.
We need more information.
Exactly. There has just not been enough information disseminated on this topic of the marriage and the engagement.
This is our shout out to you, Al.
Yes.
We want to know how you met.
We want details.
Yeah.
We want to know how you met. We want to know how long you've been dating.
Yes. And my husband even said the same thing. He wants more information too. This is not just a girl.
Okay. So this is clearly, Al, a request from your listeners. Provide us more details. We want to know about the woman who was able to snag your heart.
That's true.
Because it seemed like that was quite an adventure to get to that point. Yeah. All right. So now we'll tell you about our families. So as I said, my name is Tiffany, and I am the older sister. Ariane is 11 and a half years younger than me. In fact, shout out to her. It is actually her birthday today that we are recording this podcast.
It's true.
It's true. And I sent her a text today because this was very true. Like I said, I was 11 and a half when she was born. When my mother brought her home from the hospital, I basically told my mom, "Step aside. This is my baby." Not much has changed since then.
Not really.
So, I have 6 kids. Yes, I said it, 6 kids. They range in age from 24 to 10. My oldest son, who is 24, is married, and he is living in Utah with his wife going to school. I have a 19-year-old who is a senior in high school, just finishing up, putting in his mission papers. I have a 17-year-old who is a junior in high school. I have a 16-year-old who's a sophomore in high school. Both of them are girls. And then I have a 13-year-old who's a 7th grader, and I have a 10-year-old who's a 4th grader. Now, lest you think that I birthed all these children, I did not. I have a blended family. We have been blended for about 6 years now. My husband had the older 3, and I had the younger 3. They all stair-step on down. We have 3 boys, 3 girls. Everybody has blonde hair and blue eyes. We look like we've been together since day 1. We both have full custody of our kids, and so we really are truly a family in every sense of the word. So in addition to my 6 kids, because that's not enough for a day job, I am a lawyer, and I practice law full-time here in Idaho. And so that's a little bit about me, Ariane.
Okay, well, I am just your typical Mormon mom kind of story. I met my husband at BYU in the laundry room.
Of course. Fluff and fold.
That's right.
Fluff and fold.
We dated for about a year and then got married 4 months later, which actually was a long time, BYU time.
Yeah, four months is a long time for BYU time. Yeah,
you're right. Well, to date for a year is like, yes. Whoa.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's really a long time, yeah. BYU time.
So we have kind of lived a little bit all over before we came back to Boise. We were in California for a while and Indiana for a while and Portland for the past 8 years. And then we moved back here last summer. We have three little girls. They are 9. Oh, no, she's 10 now. They're 10, 7, and 3. Can't keep track. They keep having birthdays.
I know. I keep telling my kids, would you quit having birthdays?
I know.
It's really annoying.
I know. So they're fun. So right now I'm just stay-at-home mom. Taking care of my little girls.
And her little girls are adorable. I have the cutest nieces ever. Also, they all have, well, I shouldn't say they all have blonde hair and blue eyes. Two of her girls have blonde hair and blue eyes. One has brown hair and blue eyes. And that's an issue or a subject for an entirely different day.
That middle child. Yeah.
All right. So what we thought we would do with our podcast is we're going to separate it out into three sections. We're going to do a church culture section, and then we're going to talk about Mormon stories in the news, and then we're going to do a favorite things section. And so that's how we've kind of formatted this podcast today. So to start this off with church culture, we are going to talk about the universal experience that all of us have at least 2 times a year, known as Steak Conference.
Yes, we had to talk Steak Conference this week because I just had it last weekend. This is actually my third Steak Conference in our new steak.
In 9 months.
9 months. We got a lot of Steak Conference happening here. So,
well, it is Zion. They want to meet together frequently.
That's right. So the first thing that comes to my mind when I think of Steak Conference is the seat saving, because my husband gets so uptight about the seat saving.
So does my husband. It is a serious pet peeve.
Yeah, gives him like so much anxiety. So you know how you have like the adult session the night before?
Yes.
He swears that people come to the adult session, leave their stuff on the benches to save them for the next day.
Oh. Absolutely. My husband swears that too. You know, we meet in the steak building as a ward, and my husband is Young Men's president, so he has a key. He has threatened on more than one occasion to head to the building about 5 or 6 in the morning, take all of the suit coats that are lined up on all of the padded benches in the chapel, hang them up, and pile the scriptures in a big box by the front door.
Yes. Absolutely. My husband will go with him if he does that. I want to see it.
They could be partners in crime on that.
For sure. That would be something to talk about.
Okay. Well, and you have to discuss what happened with seat saving and your state conference this weekend. Your husband is a traitor.
He's a traitor. So this goes against all of his principles.
Every moral value he has.
Yeah. Something happened in him. I don't know what happened to him this weekend, but he was there early for they did the priesthood meeting early in the morning before the state conference session. So I assumed he would stay there, save our seats. We even joked about how he was going to kick his counselors off. He's elders quorum president. He was going to kick him off the bench and say, this bench is mine now. Get out of here.
Find your own bench. I'm taking rank.
So I assumed I would meet him at the church and he would save us a nice seat, which was going to be kind of nice. He came home in between priesthood leadership and state conference. And
so he comes cruising in the door and you're like,
he comes inside.
You're supposed to be saving me a seat.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? I thought you were saving us seats. And he said, I put my coat down.
Oh, he did not.
He did. My jaw dropped. He is not such
a
stickler on this. He did this. And so then 15 minutes before the meeting starts, we walk in. It was like the walk of shame down the aisle. To our saved seat, the one seat that nobody was sitting in yet in the chapel. I was like, oh my gosh.
You ought to be ashamed.
I know. I cannot believe he did that. He went to that early leadership meeting and he felt privileged. He's like, I deserve this. I got up at 6 a.m.
I should get to have a seat.
Anyway, so he did it. But you know what? This was probably our first time ever sitting in padded seats as adults.
Yes.
And I decided I want to go back to the back because with my three small children, everybody that's up front is like the reserved seats for special people, and a lot of like elderly people that they save the seats for. So I felt like we were a little bit of a rough crowd for those.
You were the rowdies in the chapel.
There's a lot of pressure up front in the chapel there. It's a different crowd than in the back.
Lots of stares of why aren't your children being quiet?
Yeah.
You must not be a very good mother. They're making noise.
Yes, and to keep them good for 2 hours on those padded seats. We're going back to the back next time. It's not worth it. It is just not worth it.
which brings me to the entertainment of small children in state conference. Because, you know, sacrament meeting, an hour and 10 minutes. If you've got small kids, just making it through sacrament meeting every Sunday can just seem like a feat in and of itself to make it through and have your kids be, you know, somewhat reverent and not completely destroy the meeting. So then all of a sudden, instead of an hour and 10 minutes, you've got an hour and 2 hours. You've got
2 hours.
2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Instead of 70 minutes, you have 120 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. What do you do? It's crazy. So I'm like a pretty strict sacrament meeting mom. I don't bring a lot of toys except for the three-year-old. She gets a few things. But my older kids, it's like a notepad, a piece of paper and a pencil.
Yeah.
You know, entertain yourselves. And I would never judge anybody who does anything different because I think you do what works for yourself.
Exactly. What works for you and your kids.
But I'm pretty strict, like weekly basis on sacrament meeting. But state conference, it is a free-for-all. Like
the rules are all out the door.
The rules are out there. It's the Wild West. I'm telling you, I take like this giant bag filled with stuff. Fruit snacks for everybody. Cheerios, goldfish for everybody.
It's a smorgasbord.
Yes. Markers, coloring books. My big kids get to pick out. I'm like, take what you want. They just think this is pretty good.
So do your kids take advantage of this, you know, no holes barred, no rules for state conference?
Oh, totally. They're packing things that I would never let them take. As long as it doesn't have a button and sound, throw it in the bag.
But you have to be somewhat careful because if you're sitting in the back, you're on those metal chairs. And I have had occasion where I've had a couple of toys that tend to make noise on the metal chairs. And again, unless you're surrounded by families that have lots of other little kids where nobody's going to care, I once had an older gentleman who was sitting behind us and he gave my kid a nickel. And Mark was probably maybe 7 at the time. So Mark is playing with this nickel all during state conference, making noise on the floor, making noise on the chair. Oh. And the guy's just giving me dirty looks. I'm like, well, you gave him a nickel. What did you think he was going to do?
Yeah, that's no good.
No good.
No good at all.
No good at all. So, all right, and then let's finally talk parking for state conference. Have you ever noticed that, like the concluding speaker will speak, and they'll start the song, and inevitably, 5 to 20 people, somewhere between 5 and 20 people, get up, and they're heading out the door because they want to beat the crowd.
Yes, that drives my husband nuts, too.
Drives me nuts, too.
He's always like, grumbling under his breath, is he?
Exactly. But with state conference, you don't pull into a space like you normally do. At state conference, you have to back your car in because you don't want to disrupt traffic when you're leaving state conference by backing out. It just needs to be a pull and go, pull and go, pull and go.
That's right. Quick, easy exit.
Quick, easy exit. Okay. All right. Enough about state conference. We cannot let this go without discussing Mother's Day.
Oh, yes.
And Mother's Day gifts.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Church, specifically church Mother's Day gifts. What your ward hands out.
Church Mother's Day gifts. So this stresses bishops out. And I know this because in our ward in Oregon, I was primary president, so I was in ward council. Every year when Mother's Day would come up, everything about Mother's Day stressed my bishop out. What kind of gift to give, who should speak in sacrament meeting,
what they should speak on.
What they should speak on. Exactly. Like super, super high anxiety over this. There was much debate in ward council about what kind of gift to give.
Oh, dear.
So, least favorite, most favorite gift.
Okay. So, I would say my least favorite gift is a plant.
Yes.
Oh, here's the deal with a plant. First of all, I don't have a green thumb. I can barely keep my kids alive, let alone anything else, you know? Don't ask me to keep your animal or watch your animal or take care of that. I'm not a gardener. I kill every living thing except my children. So
I agree. Plants are
Scents are hard. So what ends up happening is, you know, I usually get a marigold, or I shouldn't say I usually, but I have in the past gotten a marigold or some sort of pansy, and it's one flower. So yeah, I could dig it and put it in my flower bed, but then it's sitting out there lonely in the flower bed without any other flowers. So then I feel guilty, like I need to go buy more flowers. And then I'm sucked into the whole gardening thing, which I can't stand. So inevitably what happens is I bring the flower home. I put the flower on my kitchen window sill. I'm usually pretty good about watering it for about the first 5 days. Then it kind of goes to every other day. Mm-hmm. Then it goes to every third day. Then it goes to every fifth day. And then the flower's dead. And then I feel guilty that I have killed my Mother's Day present. And what kind of a mother am I to kill my Mother's Day present? So that is my least favorite. What is your least favorite?
Very true. Very true. Plants are always a rough one for me, too. It must be genetic.
It must be a genetic
case. We cannot keep a plant alive.
Our mother was not a gardener.
No.
No.
So one that I was probably not my most favorite and I feel a little guilty over was, I know one year we got like a little booklet from Deseret Book, like a small booklet of like President Hinckley quotes or something, which I should really love, but I really kind of just want the chocolate. When it comes to Mother's Day in church, I am all about the sugar.
I'm all about the sugar, too.
Which is also tricky, because then you have sisters that can't have sugar, and that's why my bishop used to stress out, well, if we do this, what are we going to do about sister so-and-so who can't have sugar? So then we would do fruit. But my favorite thing that we used to do in my last ward, right before this ward, was they would give us like maybe the last 20 minutes of Relief Society to just visit. They would give us a treat and we could visit. So we'd usually have either cake or cheesecake or the Costco chocolate cake. And there was always a fruit option for ladies who can't have sugar or didn't want sugar. And then we just get to visit, which is so great, because you don't get to do that in church very often. You're usually busy with your calling or taking care of your kids. So it was a real treat just to get to.
Well, and I'm sure they did this in your ward on Mother's Day. They have all of the moms come in.
Yeah.
So they have all the young women leaders come in, all the primary leaders. Mm-hmm. And so it's a rare opportunity that you're sitting there with all of the women in your ward.
Right.
So it is. It's very
nice.
And
then you get to eat your treat before it's over and you go out into the hall and your small children try to eat the treat for you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Many a Relief Society treat I have not eaten because it's been snatched up by my son or my daughter.
Yes.
The younger two. The older ones, not so much, but the 13-year-old and the 10-year-old, man, they can sniff a sugar treat out I have received at church like that.
Oh, yeah.
And boom, they're all over it.
Oh, yeah. So what's been your best?
My best has been, I lived in Provo for a period of time in a family ward. This wasn't just when I was going to school. And we every year would get this box of Kara's chocolates. And Kara is a chocolate company that's down in Utah. The box, and it's very good, high quality chocolate. The box would have four chocolates in it. I loved it. First of all, because the chocolate was very, very good quality chocolate. Second, I like the fact that, you know what? I could open it in church and eat it there if I wanted. Or better yet, I could just throw it in my bag, hide it from my kids, and then savor it over the course of several days.
Ooh, yeah.
So, very, very good. But we thought we would give a few suggestions. So, if there are bishops or leaders out there who are struggling with some Mother's Day ideas, we wanted to give you just a few suggestions as to what we thought a good Mother's Day gift would be. Now, granted, my Kara's chocolates were great, but the owner of Kara's chocolates lived in my ward, so I'm sure she probably gave him a really good deal. So, if you can't get your hands on cheap Kara's chocolates, I don't know any woman who doesn't love a good Lindor truffle. You know, the red, the ones that are round and they are milk chocolate and they come in the red wrapper.
Oh, yeah.
Those are my favorite. So, you know, just for your benefit, I got on Amazon and I did a little pricing. You can get 120 of them for $34.99, and that includes your shipping. You get your young women to put two or three of them in a fancy bag, pass them out to your sisters.
Those are great
Mother's Day gifts.
Those are good. Okay, so one of my past wards, speaking of young women, they did a young women fundraiser in conjunction with Mother's Day.
Really?
Dipped strawberries and chocolate, wrapped them in cellophane, so it was like a take-home treat.
Uh-huh.
And then they sold them to raise their money for girls' camp.
Oh.
And it was like bonkers. People in the ward went nuts for it. So all the men would buy them for like their wives, but also for like the ladies they home teach. So pretty much everybody got multiple packs of these chocolate-covered strawberries.
That's a twofer is always a good deal.
They were so good.
Oh, when you can do a girls' camp fundraiser and a Mother's Day thing all at once, boom.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
great. So, you know, another idea that I thought would be great for Mother's Day is last year for our Relief Society birthday dinner for our handout, we did a little chapstick. And I had gotten online and found a company that will has the chapstick and they'll help you custom make your label. And I think I got 100 of these chapsticks for $60 because I remember they were about 60 cents a piece. And they were a minty chapstick and they were so good.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
Oh, our sisters loved them. In fact, I had sisters who were asking if there was extra. I had a sister at Christmas time who said, "Where did you get those from? I'm addicted to that chapstick. I need to get more." So that was a big hit, and I could see that being a big hit for Mother's Day.
I would totally go for that, and you can put it in your church bag. I was thinking other things you could put in your church bag, like travel-sized lotion.
Oh, yes.
Just something little like that might be popular.
And then we joked that hand sanitizer is always a good one for church.
Oh, yes. Especially for those primary teachers.
Exactly. You can never have enough hand sanitizer.
For sure.
All right. So now we're going to move on to Mormon stories in the news this week.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you start out with this one, Arielle.
Okay. So the first story that I was super excited about is Mormon Tabernacle Choir coming out with a new CD that will be released soon. It is called, I think it's called Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Friends.
Yes.
So this is a collaboration CD that they are doing with a bunch of different artists that they've worked with over the years. So a lot of these are ones that we've heard before with their concerts at Temple Square. So a few of the artists that they've got on there, James Taylor, Sting, Angela Lansbury, Amy Grant, Renee Fleming, the King Singers, these are just a few. So some of them are ones that we've heard before, and then a few of them are going to be new original collaborations that we haven't heard before. But the one I am the most excited about is the Sting. Because
Sting. Really? Sting. It's hard to imagine Sting with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
But we've heard this one before. This is one that they did with Sting and Yo-Yo Ma with the Motab and the Olympics. 2002.
And
I specifically remember them doing this. I think it was at the opening the opening ceremonies. I think it was at the opening ceremonies.
Oh, it's opening exercises.
It's all the same, right?
Yeah.
That's right. The opening ceremony, they did it with Sting, and it was his song Fragile, which I love. And I remember this song from the opening ceremony, and I remember thinking it was so cool back then when they did it.
That was like years ago. I can't believe you remember that.
I know. I can't believe I remember either. I was in college. I was in Provo at the time of the Olympics, and so I was paying extra attention to everything that year. But I just remember thinking that it was really cool. So I'm super excited about that one.
Oh, okay. I looked at the list. I think the one I'm most excited about, Angela Lansbury, Beauty and the Beast from the soundtrack.
Oh, yes.
Beauty and the Beast, this is from the animated version. You may recall she played a character in the animated version.
Mrs. Potts.
And who does not love Murder, She Wrote, Angela Lansbury? It's a classic.
That'll be a good one.
That'll be a good one.
That will be a good one. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good CD.
Okay. So our next story this week that we wanted to talk about, the headline in the Deseret News, which I don't know about this one.
We think this is kind of a non-story, but we're going to talk about it anyway.
Exactly.
So maybe it is a story.
Maybe it is, but we weren't impressed. So twin Mormon sisters have best day ever, meet Johnny Depp during surprise trip to Disneyland. So, you know, you hear this headline and you think, oh, you know, they had a meet and greet with Johnny Depp. They shook his hand. They took pictures. They chatted it up.
Yeah.
That's not exactly what happened.
Not so much. So the two sisters, one sister got home from her mission, so the other sister wanted to take her to Disneyland. they're in line for Pirates of the Caribbean. It turns out they're filming something at Pirates of the Caribbean, and Johnny Depp is inside in character for his role. So they really just kind of rode by him on their ship. He asked them if they'd like to duel, and they said yes. And he said, you'd probably be very good. And the ship continues on.
The ship carried on. But this was an article in Deseret News. How did Deseret News even get this? Did the sisters send out a press release?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I mean, they're cute girls, and I'm glad that they had a great day at Disneyland.
But really, is this a story?
I don't know.
So, you know, when I lived in Provo, one of Donny Osmond's sons used to go to the school. Should I have called the Deseret News up saying, hey, Donny's signing in the parking lot. He's picking up his son. I saw him. He smiled at me.
I don't know. But Mormons do love Disneyland.
Mormons do love Disneyland, as you know.
I know this firsthand because about probably 5 years ago, I was at Disneyland with my kids. And we went in October, specifically in October, thinking that it would be a downtime and we'd have less lines. And I remember texting you while I was there. You were living in Utah at the time.
Yes.
We're in line, long lines, and we start to notice there are just a ton of people that look like they're Mormon. Tons of BYU hats, tons of garment lines, lots of big families.
The aura, the Mormon aura was there.
The Mormon aura was there. So I'm texting you and I'm like, holy cow, Disneyland is crowded and everybody looks like they're Mormon. And you wrote me back and said, oh, honey, it's fall break in Utah.
Exactly. And that's where all the Mormons from Utah go during fall break is they go to Disneyland. And my exact words were, what were you thinking?
I know. And I was like, dang it. That's why we picked this week. We thought it would be empty. But no, you got to watch out for that fall break.
You got to watch out for the fall break.
Lesson Utah, learned.
Utah will descend on the Magic Kingdom.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. So our next story is, and this one just occurred today. So we had President Trump. Today was the National Prayer Day. And one of his campaign promises, he had talked about loosening some of the restrictions on religious freedom and the ability of religious organizations to endorse political candidates. And so he signed a declaration today. It didn't really change the existing law, but basically what he did is he told federal agencies to back off from punitive punishments against religious and religious organizations if they are endorsing particular candidates. And right. As soon as I heard that today, my first thought was, I thought, oh, that's not going to change the church's position. And sure enough, within a couple of hours of the release that President Trump had done this, Eric Hawkins, spokesman for the church, says today's executive order will not affect our longstanding policy of political neutrality. So right. We don't have to worry that we are now going to be told from the pulpit who we are to vote for.
That's right. They'll still read that letter we love every November.
The letter we get every November that says,
Vote
your conscience. We're not going to tell you to vote. We're going to tell you to study the issues, go to the polls, vote your conscience.
Yes.
So,
which is great.
Glad that is not going to change. So the next one we have that was in the news this week, which is and sadly we have seen these stories a lot in the past few years, but this one kind of hits closer to home for us.
Yeah.
Because this is out of Boise, Idaho. There's five men who say they were sexually abused as kids, and so they are suing the Boy Scouts of America in conjunction with the Mormon Church. They are alleging,
so sad.
Yes, it's very sad. They are alleging that their religious leaders were aware of this abuse and didn't do anything about it. I believe that the abuse started somewhere in the 70s and continued on into the early 90s. Kind of sad to see that this is still going on. Kind of interesting, too, for me, because several years ago, I got a telephone call from a paralegal at the church's law firm, and she was asking me some questions about conversations that I'd had with my father. My father had since passed away. We had had, in the late 60s, a scout leader in our ward who sadly had abused at least one boy in our ward. I'm not sure if there was more than that.
It did not come out at the time. It was years and years later before this came out. Mm-hmm. But this particular gentleman was suing the Boy Scouts of America and suing the church. But because it had been so many years, basically all of the leadership from that time period had passed away, including my father, because he was in a bishopric at the time. And so, you know, she was just asking me, you know, what I recall conversation-wise with my father. And right. Our dad was very adamant. He's just, you know, look, if that bishop had known, he would have done something. He never would have sat on this information. I know him. You know, those are some conversations that I had with my dad. So
you remember talking about that case?
I do remember. Mm-hmm. And it's not the case that just got filed this week. It's a separate case.
Yeah.
But I do remember having that conversation with our dad, mm-hmm. about that. Being a lawyer, my dad always liked to talk legal stuff with me. So, you know, hopefully this is, you know, kind of one of the last of these cases that we'll see, because I think that...
I hope there's not too many more out there. It's just so sad.
It is. And it tends to give the Boy Scouts and the church a bad name. And you know, over the course of the last, you know, probably 10 to 15 years, they've really cracked down a lot on too deep leadership and training and just making sure that those things don't happen, which is great.
Yeah. So. I'm hopeful that... So many changes have been made that this will not be as much of an issue.
Yes.
Hopefully not an issue at all. So.
All right. Now we are going to go to Ariane's absolute favorite story of the week.
Oh, this one is the best.
Yes.
This one is the best. Okay. So it turns out Donny Osmond is claiming, or he says on his Instagram account.
This was his Instagram this week.
That one of the characters from Frozen was modeled after him. Now, this is exciting to me because of my three little girls, two of them are completely obsessed with Frozen. It's been out for a few years now. They are still completely obsessed with it. I've probably seen the movie like 50 to 75 times at least.
It sadly, folks, it's true.
And
you should have it memorized by now.
You shouldn't
even be questioning whether or not this is Donnie. You should automatically just look and go, duh, Donnie.
I should be going, oh, it makes sense, but I don't recall. So I'm going to have to go watch it again, believe it or not. But supposedly, so the character that is Prince Hans, Donny Osmond has a nephew, Hiram Osmond.
Could you have a more, a better combination of old school LDS name and new school LDS name?
No.
Hiram for the old school, Osmond for the new school.
It's perfection.
It's perfect.
Perfection.
You could not look at that name, Hiram Osmond, and go, that guy has to be LDS.
Yeah, for sure. So Hiram Osmond is an animator for Disney.
Okay.
And so Donny was saying that some of the mannerisms of the Prince Hans character were modeled after him. So now I'm like super excited to go back and pop Frozen in, if my DVD still even works. It's probably all scratched up. And watch the scene where he's singing with Princess Anna, because this is the scene where he says, you know.
So that begs the question, you know, if it were Hiram here, Hiram the animator who said, yeah, I based it off of Donnie, then I'd go, okay. But is Donnie just saying this for publicity? You know, he hasn't had enough FaceTime in the media yet, or is this really true?
I don't know. We're gonna have to watch it.
We'll have to have a viewing party, you and I together, and make a decision. Is Hans patterned after Donnie, or is this just a way to get some more likes on Instagram?
Yeah, I don't know, but either way, I love it.
It's a great story. It's a great story.
Yes.
All right, so now we're going to move on to our favorite things. We're done with our Mormon news stories for the week, and so when we talk about our favorite things, first of all, we just want to make it clear, we're not being paid or anything like that to endorse anything that we're talking about.
We just thought it would be fun, because who doesn't like useful information?
Exactly. So we're just going to share with you some of the things we like.
Okay. So my favorite thing that I wanted to share this week is my favorite app. This is my all-time, probably most used app behind like email and maybe Facebook and Instagram.
Now that's saying a lot.
Yes.
Because I know how much you're on Facebook and Instagram.
It is up in the top three.
I use
this app every day. The app is called Our Groceries, like O-U-R, groceries.
Okay, so how did you find this app?
A friend told me about it.
Okay.
So the app is meant to be a grocery list. The beautiful thing about this list is you can put the app on other people's phones. So my husband has it on his phone and we're linked. Our account is linked.
Okay, so when you set this up, you had to like link it.
We linked it. So he has the app, I have the app. It's a running grocery list. So I can add things, he can add things. It shows up on the list. No matter who adds it, it's always shows up on the list. So it started out as groceries, and I have since turned it into a list app for everything in my head that I could ever want to make a list out of. I have probably 15 lists in this app. I have a list of books I want to read every time someone recommends a book. I have a list of movies I want to watch. Every time someone recommends a movie or a cool documentary, I type it in the app so I don't forget it. I have a list of restaurants I want to try. Every time someone tells me about a cool restaurant or I read about it in the paper, pop it in the app. I have a list for meals this week, things I need to get done this week. Everything in the world you can think of to put in a list, you can put in the app.
Okay, so when you put it in your list, then does it show up in your husband's phone too? Can he then go, oh, look what Ariane needs to do this week?
It does, he could.
Could he add stuff to your to-do list going, oh, here, I want you to do these things too?
Oh, potentially he could. Don't tell him that.
Okay.
I don't like that arrangement. I only want him touching the grocery section.
Just to add things to the grocery section. Yeah,
he can add a restaurant. I'll let him out of restaurant.
Okay, fair enough. So how does this differ, other than the fact that it's linked to your, you know, you and your husband are linked? Uh-huh. How does this differ from like using just basic notes and making lists in notes on the iPhone?
You know what? It's just easier to use because you click each app or each list that you make, you then click on, and then it, like your sub list comes down of everything you need on that list. So it's really easy to navigate through.
Oh,
all of
okay.
your lists. You've got a list of all your lists, and then you click on your list and it tells you what's on your list. And then you can very easily, you just click the item once you buy it. Like if it's on your grocery list, you just tap it and it goes off your
list. So once you've got your big case of toilet paper from Costco, you tap it off the list.
Tap it and it's off the list. Oh, that's the other thing I have done. I have a list for different stores. I have a running Costco list. I have a running Target list. Because you know, you have different things you buy at different stores.
Yeah. Exactly. So how have you trained your husband to add to the list?
Oh, it's great because he used to, like, he'd call me and be like, oh, when you're at the store, can you get this? And now I'm like, put it in the app. If it's not in the app, it's not happening because I cannot hold that information in my head. I'm telling you, it's changed my life.
So three kids have killed nearly all your brain cells.
Yes, I'm no longer responsible for holding that kind of information in my head.
Because I know for me, six kids, I have no brain cells left. Yeah. Like literally, if a kid wants something for a school project, I'm like, you're going to have to repeat this to me about five times unless you put it in writing. And even then, if you give me a piece of paper, I'm probably going to lose the piece of paper.
Well, then you need to get this app.
I need to get the app.
On all of your children's phones.
Exactly, because inevitably, here's what happens. So I have these two teenage daughters who are 16 and 17. They both have really long hair. They use hideous amounts of shampoo and conditioner. I cannot even tell you how much shampoo and conditioner these girls use. And so rather than give me like a 3 to 5 day warning of, hey, mom, we're getting low on whatever shampoo or conditioner they're getting low on, they come down at 6 o'clock in the evening and say, mom, we have no more shampoo for tomorrow morning. We need shampoo.
Oh, dear.
And just kind of expect me to snap my fingers and magically shampoo appears.
Oh, yeah. You better just tell
them. I better
put it in the app.
Put it in the app. You want me to get it? Put it in the app.
Put it in the app.
Oh, I'm liking that because each of my children have an electronic device. So I could probably, my youngest two have iPads. Mm. I could probably put that app on their iPad and tell them, you want it? Put it on the list in the app.
There you go.
Oh, I like this
idea. It's going to change your life.
I like this idea.
All right. What's your favorite thing?
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with an app too that we use for my family.
Oh.
As I stated, I have these three teenagers, and these three teenagers each have their own car. It looks like a used car lot at my house.
It totally does. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. My neighbors hate us.
They take up the whole cul-de-sac.
We really do. Between the cars and the dog that we have that's queen of the cul-de-sac, we have alienated every neighbor within a 300-foot radius. But in any event, so my teenagers, despite the fact that I have repeatedly asked them, please text me and tell me where you're going and what you're doing. They have this phone that is capable of texting their friends. They have this phone that is capable of Snapchatting with their friends. They have this phone that's capable of Instagramming with their friends. But these phones are not capable of communicating with their parents. So I am always left wondering, where is this child?
Right.
And admittedly, I mean, I could crack down and take phones and cars away, but my kids are good kids. You know, they're never out doing bad things.
They're really good kids.
They are very good kids. So what we ended up doing is we got this app called Life 360. And probably much like your List app, it connects everybody in our family. So we all had to get on it. So I'm on it, my husband's on it, and then our three teenagers are on it. And here's the beautiful thing about this app. First of all, it has a GPS. It's hooked into the GPS. So wherever those kids are physically located, I know.
Ooh.
It also tells me when they've been driving in a car, it shows me where they drove from point A to point B. It shows me their top speed and how long it took them to get there.
Holy moly.
So I know if they're speeding.
Oh my.
So that is a very good thing. And the rule that we have in our house is that if we look at the app, my husband or I, and so that they just, well, first of all, I don't think they would actually leave their phones because I don't think they are capable of leaving their phones.
They can't do it.
They can't do it.
Physically impossible.
Physically impossible.
Emotionally impossible.
Emotionally impossible for them to separate their hand from their phone. So I'm not really concerned about them leaving the phone somewhere else and then going somewhere. But we do have a rule that if we say, hey, take a picture of us, show us where you're at, and we don't get a picture back in, you know, about 60 seconds, boom, that phone is gone.
Oh.
So, and they know that. They know they can't turn off the GPS function on it.
Uh-huh.
That if they do that, boom, that phone is gone.
Oh, I am taking notes for when my kids are
so
teenagers.
So, yes, take notes for when your kids are teenagers. The other thing that it does is, I don't have this on my phone because I turned off the notification because it was annoying, but my husband has it on his phone. Every time they arrive at a new location, it dings him on his phone and he sees exactly where they're at.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's how we keep tabs electronically on our teenagers.
Holy cow.
I know they hate us.
I cannot imagine the amount of like power that gives you.
Oh, it gives us so much power.
It's a whole new world.
it's absolutely a whole new world. So if you have teenagers who are mobile, I highly recommend the Life 360 app because you can keep track of them.
Wow.
So
very cool.
Anyway. All right, well, I think that about closes it out for us today.
I think that's it.
We appreciate you listening to our podcast. We hope that Jeff and Al will like us, because if they do, we would love an opportunity to do this again. So this is Tiffany Hales.
And Arianne Smith.
And this is This Week in Mormon, Sisters in Zion Edition.
My name is Bob Bob Bob. Bibbly bibbly boom.